Okay, so we're up to Nechemi Perek Zayin Pasuk Samach Zayin. Okay, we learned yesterday about HaTirshasa, that the Tirshasa is Nechemia, and he told these group of people, people who cannot trace their lineage, and the Kohanim who came from, who married into the family of Barzilai HaGiladi, that they cannot eat from the Kodesh HaKodashim. We discussed yesterday what exactly is Kodesh HaKodashim. It does not necessarily mean only literally Karban Chatos, Karban Hashem, but it means even Truma, even means Kodashim Kalim. The way the word Kodesh HaKodashim is used here in Nehemiah is not the same way it's used in Chumash. And then we learn the Pasuk Samach Vav, that the entire sum was 42,360. That number is exactly the same as it appears in Sefer Ezra. And that number is missing. You have to add about another 12,000 and change to the total sum in order to make it come out to the number 42,360. Now we come to Pasuk Samach Zayin. There are more people. This number, 42,360, does not include Milvad, Avdehem, Ve'am Hosehem, Ela, these slaves and maidservants. Even though we did mention the Avdei Shlomo, it seems that the Avdei Shlomo were more miyuchasim than these slaves, because in the previous accounting when we did come to a tally of 42,360, it did include slaves, the slaves of Shlomo HaMelech. Now we're listing more slaves, and these are not included in the original tally, so it must be that the slaves of Shlomo HaMelech, I'm assuming, were Jews, were full-fledged Jews, Shomer Torah Mitzvos. It's just that they're, yeah? Right, something along the, I don't know if it's literally, everybody willing for 6 years. Every year, so it seems that they were servants. They were servants to Shlomo HaMelech. I don't think it means in the category of an Eved Ivri, or certainly not an Eved Kenani. These, it seems to be non-Jews, Avodim Kenanim, who have a bris mila, and a chayv and mitzvos like an isha, because of the law of Eved Kenani. So they're not full-fledged Jews, and that's why they're not included in the original counting of 42,360. The following, how many? Shivas alofim, 7,330, and 337. Vilohem, and to them, to referring, lohem refers to the Yisraelim, to the Kohanim, and the whole Klal Yisrael, Mishoirim u'mishoiros. They also had singers, male singers and female singers. So we don't know exactly what this means, because in today's times they would be banned. This would be banned, okay, of female singers. Okay, it's not exactly them. So obviously there's more to it. There's something a lot deeper than meets the eye. There were male singers and female singers. How many? Mosaim 200, V'arbom Chamisha 245.
This has nothing to do with the Avadim and Moshe.
This has nothing to do. So are they Jewish? It's not clear. I don't know the answer. Let's see over here the Mitzudos Pasuk Samach Zayin Milvad. Hacheshbon Hazehu, the calculation of 42,360 is besides Milvad Avdei Amosim Shel Eile, besides the slaves and maidservants of these, Haniskodim Vehem Shivas Lofim, and besides also Mishoirim U'Mishoiros. Mishoir means the male singers. We had in Sefer Ezra. This is the last time we had what? Not here. I don't think so. We had Levim. You're right. The Meshem Pasik Mem Dalet. Halvim Bnei Yeshua La Kadmiya Levnei Lehodva Shivim Shiva Hamishoyrim Bnei Osaf. So those are singers. So it appears they served a different role. I don't know what role they served, but it was not the same type of singers. There were singers that served in the Beis HaMikdash. Those were the Levim. They were Levim in the Beis HaMikdash. It appears these singers were not singers for the Levim. These were entertainers, people that just served in people's homes and palaces and homes, provided entertainment for the people, or not necessarily entertainment. It could be there was a certain culture where they had ceremonies where they would sing, they would perform differently. By funerals, they also would sing in a certain nigun, a certain melody. And it could be that these people were not even Jewish. They just were hired to perform this service, and that's why they're being listed. When you look at the Mitzudas David Pasik Samach Zayin Meshayrim Meshayros Zuchadim Lekevos Leshayrer Baderech. You see what it says here: to sing not in the Beis Hamikdash, but to sing on the road. Ki'alu b'simcha uvitiyul, because when they traveled, when they made aliyah from Bavel during the time of Koresh, they were accompanied by musicians and singers, that their procession to Eretz Yisrael shall be done with great joy. So it would appear they're not even Jewish. How many? There was a mitzvah that says Mosayim v'Yabov Chamish. There was 245. V'Ezra Nemarak Mosayim. So in Ezra, the mitzvah points out over here there are only 200. Ki Oisna Memhei Hayu Oz Ketanim. Why? Because the extra 45 that I mentioned here that are absent in Sefer Ezra in his accounting is because they were children at that time. Hayu Nitfalim Alagdolim, and they were Nitfalim. They just were bottled. They were attached to the adults. But if they made now it's 36 years later, they've matured, they're adults. They also count. Okay, so we have over here, these singers, 245. Next, now we come to a pasuk samaches, a very controversial pasuk. Okay, in the text that I have, it appears with no apology. What do you have in your text? You have the next pasuk samaches to sehem, and it's written in regular full text without any apology. Okay, now let's read the pasuk. This pasuk appears word for word, letter for letter, as well in Sefer Ezra. There's no change whatsoever. Susehem, their horses, shvamios 700, shloshim v'shisha 736, pirdehem, their mules, mosayim 200, arbam v'chamisha 245. Exactly the same that appears in Sefer Ezra. Now, problem is there are other manuscripts of Sefer Nehemiah where this pasuk is absent, does not exist. Okay, so the question is why? So simply it was put in because we have to match. We want to match up what it says here as much as we possibly can with what it says in Sefer Ezra. The Mincha Shai says that his research has shown him that this pasuk does not belong here. In the Sefer Nehemiah, this pasuk is absent. And he goes on to say as follows, something very interesting. He says that at the end of Sefer Nehemiah, I don't know if you have it in this, there is a simin of how many psukim. Okay, I don't have it in mine. Maybe you have it in yours. So at the end of many svarim, the better svarim, at the end of each parsha, there's a simin, like this week's parsha. How many psukim are there? 688. Very. Ezra and Nehemiah together. 688. Let me go take a look. Okay, Nehemiah. Okay, where do you have? Where is it? Okay. Skum, Psuki, Ezra, Nehemiah, Sheish Meos, Ushmaina, 600. So that's Tof Reish Pei Ches. Okay, Tof Reish, they wrote it out. In this Sefer, it's been written out. Sheish Meos, that's Tof, 400 plus Reish, right? That's 600. Tof and Reish, 400 plus 200 is 600. Ushmoinim is Pei. Ushmoinim is Ches, is 8. Problem is, big problem. If you count all of the psukim, you will discover that there are 686. Two off. Okay, go count. We have nothing better to do. Saf. 97. Oh, really? Okay. So, what's the answer?
Nobody knows.
No one knows. Really? Wow.
What's that?
Saf. Yeah. So it says the end is that it's
Sav.
It's 97.
That's right.
So what's the answer?
I don't know. Nobody says it.
Okay, so I'll tell you what I think the answer. There's something very peculiar about Parashat Sav. Yeah. Yes. What's the pasuk?
I got it off hand, but I remember.
Well, there's a very strange thing that always bothered me about this parasha. Vayidaber, there's one Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. That's not preceded by a parasha psucha, parasha stuma. Everywhere throughout the Torah, whenever you have Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, it always comes after psucha stuma. And you have here in the middle, by the Chelev, in the middle of the parsha, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. What's going on? So I always wonder, maybe that really was not meant to be a separate pasuk. That was all part of it. Leads into the next pasuk. So if it leads to the next pasuk, you would reduce from 97 to 96. Whatever. Okay. But in any event, so the problem is solved. If you go into the calculation from the Sefer Nechem, Sefer Ezra, you're going to discover that there are 686 psukim.
We'll go to next week's parsha, and it's so Sefer the psukim.
Yeah.
When it has next week's parsha,
Shmini.
So you have already the osios, you know, the halfway point.
Right, right.
Count up and see how they have it up to that point, maybe.
I mean, interesting. Yeah. Because are they counting it with 97 as well? With only 96. Like 96, 97. Okay, interesting. But here we have, so he says, as far, we're off by two. Okay, so we got a very big problem. So some want to say that it's a tos hadfus. It was really meant to be tof resh pei vav. That's what they were supposed to write. And by mistake, the printer wrote tof resh pei ches. He made a mistake. Instead of a vav, he wrote a ches, because it doesn't. The numbers don't add up. Go through the numbers. You're not going to find numbers. So the Mincha Shai says that Mincha Shai is a tremendous baki in the Mesorim tradition. A lot of things that we do come right from him, except for the Megillah. There are two things that we don't do in the Megillah, even though he says that we should do it. But so he says it has to be. The solution is that this pasuk does not belong here. The pasuk of the horses and the mules do not belong in Sefer Nechemya. It was a mistake. And in the Sif, the Kisrayad Middukdokim, the very precise manuscripts of Sefer Nechemya, the better manuscripts that he has come across, the pasuk of the horses and the mules is absent. Even though, and that requires an explanation, why would Nechemya's account of the horse and the mules be left out, whereas it's included, only one pasuk, only one. So that's all it was. So therefore, what is the true number of psukim them? Tof, Reish, Pei, Hei. 685. Now, a letter Hey and a letter Ches, then it'll be off by three. But a letter Hey and a letter Ches, that you can say is a Tos Hatfos. Because the difference between a Hey and a Ches, especially in ancient writings, was almost no difference. Because just a teeny little dot, the fountain pen skips a little bit or adds a little bit, you have from a Hey and a Ches. So it's more, if we have to say, if we have no choice but to say, so he puts these two things together to make the following suggestion. If we have no way to reconcile the number with what we have in front of us, and there has to be a tos hatfos, there has to be a mistake, and there's also a debate, there's also a disagreement if the pasuk of Susem is part of the script, part of the text, because many accurate, very exact manuscripts leave it out. It's much more logical to put the two together and say it doesn't belong there. And then the correct number of psukim will be Tof, Reish, Pei, Hei. And now it's much more logical that there was a Tos Hatfus between a Hei and a Ches than a Ches and a Vav. It's a very interesting idea from the Mincha Shai.
The number of horses stayed the same?
Yes. The number for the record. Not they stayed the same. This is a record of different opinions of what exactly. And if you go into them, we discussed this in twice already. Right. What exactly is this record? This is a record. A new record is, or it's 36 years later, and we are reflecting. We're pulling out the old documents, the old records, and we are trying to review what exactly the story was. We're doing research. We go doing research, pulling in all of the archives and seeing what there was. And according to our records, 36 years later, the numbers stay exactly the same. Okay, so we'll come to the other things. That everyone, the Gemalim, that for sure remains. That everyone agrees that pasuk definitely appears. But the big question is, why then are the horses, why would the Chemia's accounting of the horses and of the mules be left out? So maybe you want to go tell me that we don't want to include animals, or we don't want to include non-kosher animals. But then why include the Gemalim? So that's not going to work. So you have to say something along the lines is that a horse and a mule, you have to say that's not something which he felt in his accounting is so important to record. It's like, you know, you go, how many gallons of gasoline did they use? Did they use when they came up? How many coach buses were you? It's something which it's true, but it's not something which Nechemya felt was an essential detail that has to be recorded in Sifrei Kodesh for posterity. Ezra's accounting, the first accounting, they felt, no, there is some significance. Now these are non-kosher animals, a mule and a horse.
You can see in the original, assuming it was an early account, you could see more value in listing what they started out with.
Yeah.
Then later on, as far as the animals are concerned, later on.
Reflecting back. Yeah. At the time, it seemed like something significant. At the time, it seemed like later on in time, it's like an Irish guy.
And you started out.
Right. So then it means something. At the time, it meant something. Later on, when we reflect, it's not a detail which we really are concerned to review and record. It's a very interesting idea. Okay, I guess we have to relate today to our times, that when we do things when we're young, so it means so much to us. Later on in life, when you want to reflect, you want to write your autobiography, even though when you want to record it at a later point in time, it just doesn't have the same value, same meaning to record these things. Okay, I don't know. It's something which is very difficult, very curious. I didn't see any answer, and it does require explanation. Pasuk Samachtes. Gimalim, what about camels? Arba males, 400. Shleshim Chamisha, 435. Chamorim, donkeys. Sheish, Salafim, 6,000. Shamelos, Eshim, 6,720. This remains the same. Pasuk Ayin, Miksas, Rosh, Avos, Nostal, Amalacha. Now we come to something which does not appear in Sefer, or at least these psukim do not appear in Sefer Ezra. We're going to enumerate gifts. When the Olim came to Eretz Yisrael, they brought with them, they collected very significant donations for the building of the Beis HaMikdash and for the expense of the Olim. Now we're going to say along some donations, but we have here, so let's do more time, some of the Rashi Avos, they gave the Malacha, they gave donations for the work. Now we have the gift of Hatir Shasa. This does not appear in Sefer Ezra. We do not single out the gift of Nehemiah. His gift is completely absent. It's only in this accounting, I guess, since Nehemiah is writing this, and it's during the time of Nehemiah, and it's his accounting, it was important that it was mentioned his particular gift. He gave a very large personal gift for the Beis HaMikdash and for the needs of the people who settled in the land at this time. Hatir Shasa, Nosan Lootsar, he gave for the treasure house, for the treasury of the new government. He was a very wealthy man, as we know. He supported and he hosted all of these 150 people. He supported Gerim, and he was a host to people that came to visit, and he did not tax the population of Eretz Yisrael at that time, even though he was entitled to under the law of the government. What did he give? Nothing like it says, Zohav gold, Dar Kimonim. Dar Kimonim is the name of a coin, a dark, and we had this. Right. Mr. Gladi, you told me what this means. What? A Greek coin. That's where it comes from. So Dar Kimonim, they gave these coins. He had only 1,000. Nehemiah personally gave 1,000 of these coins. Mizrakos Chamishim. Mizrakos means bowls for Kabbalah Sadam. It's a special bowl that's not meant for drinking. It's meant to be Makabel, the dam of the carbon. Kosnois, tunics, yeah?
Yeah, but to call it a drachma, it's interesting because it's before the Greek period.
It's before the Greek period, and yeah, we're calling it. So maybe the Greeks took it. The Greeks took the term for their currency from this ancient coin, and it became so popular we today only know it as a Greek coin. But it has its origin in earlier times. Dark moinim, elephant thousand, mizrakos, chamishim. Mizrakos means to wipe. It's a bowl that's used for blood. The reason why it's because when the coin would dip his finger in, like this is very good for Pesach. You dip your finger in the koy shel yayin, you dip your pinky, like we discussed yesterday, or one of those three fingers. What do you do after you dip? So there are opinions that say that you should wipe it before you dip your finger back in and take out more wine. For the next time you dip, you should wipe it. A mizrak. A mizrak means to wipe. Where would they wipe it? So the thing, when it comes to Zrika, they collect Makamel, the dam, and the Kohen goes, and he sprinkles the dam, applies it to the corners of the Mizbeach. He dips his finger, and he puts it on the corner. Now he has leftover residual blood on his finger. What does he do with that blood? They didn't have paper towels on the top of the Mizbeach. So what did he do? He would wipe it on he didn't wipe it on his clothing either. He would ruin his clothing. They didn't have any shvatas up there. He wiped it on the back of the bowl, the basin which collected the blood. You have the mizrak, the bowl full of blood. You dip your finger, you apply it to the corner, and then you wipe it on the back side of the bowl that has the blood. The wiping is called, mizrak means to wipe. So the bowls were called wipers. They were like called paper towels, because you would use the back of the bowl to wipe your finger from the excess blood after you did an application. Mizrakos chamishim.
Mizrakos also mean to spray.
To sprinkle, that's zirika, that same shorish. Same shorish, but here it means to wipe. It's the same idea, yeah.
It says why you wipe, obviously.
Because you can't, you're going to disqualify.
The maka back into the bowl, so maybe you can drink it. Who wants to drink
it? You know, it becomes pogum. Right. Once you take it out, it signifies bad wine. You don't want to ruin it. That's why it's another minute. Like you said, you bedafka, don't dip your finger. You take it, you pour. Because if you're going to dip your finger, it's inevitable you're going to end up putting some of that wine back into the kais. And by the blood, it's the same thing. Once the blood is removed from the basin, it's disqualified to be used for another zurika, another application on the corner. So you have to wipe your finger on the back of the bowl. Chamishim, so he donated, Nechemiah himself donated, Dar Kamoinim, 1,000 basins for Kabbalah Saddam, 50. Kosnois Kohanim, tunics. Kohanim need clothing. How many? Shloshim Chamesh, Meos, 530. So here we put the hundreds after we put the 30. Shloshim. Of 530. Okay, this is the gift of Nehemiah. Again, this is not recorded in Sefer Ezra. This number, this private gift is absent. It's very curious why it's left out there, but here it is mentioned. Next, Pasuk Ayin Aleph, Rosh Ha'avos, what?
Rabbi Lee,
yeah?
Could be, it was left out before. They reached a certain point, they did the books, they saw they were in the red, and he says, the Chevy was very rich. I'll make up the difference.
It came at a later point, like the Nesim. The Nesim said that we'll give whatever is missing. That's a very interesting idea. You're suggesting something which it's a negative spin a little bit, because you didn't give it.
Says, you know,
I'll be mashlim.
I'll cover this.
Right, you had that by the Nesim, by the donations to the Mishkan. The Nesim said, "Let everyone give, and whatever is missing, we will be mashlim." They were severely criticized for doing that, because that sets a very poor example. If you're going to wait, you wanted to be mashlim, you could always be mashlim. No one's holding you back. But we need people to come forward in the beginning and raise the bar. I've always noticed when I was a child going to go to shul, have an appeal, always have appeals, right? All the Yom Tovim during the year for all different causes.
Right, there's always a setter.
Right, the one that gives the beginning, it definitely sets the tone. If you have an appeal, the first person calls that, I'm giving $18.
You don't repeat that one.
What?
You don't repeat that one.
What do you mean?
You know,
yeah, exactly. So sometimes there are people that are not so swift, they're not so clever, you know, they're not trained in how to conduct an appeal. It's an art. And right away, $18. You say $18, it's all over. That's it, it's all over. It's a failure. You start off, before you start, you contact people and you have big donations, $1,000, $5,000. Ah, $5,000, you shame the other people,
setting the bar.
So this is what Chazal criticized in the Nesiim. They're very critical of the Nesiim, that it was not the right thing to do, to say we're not giving anything, let everyone give what they want and we'll be mashdim. No, set the bar. Give millions of dollars, and then we'll give you the bill when everything is over as well. No, that's not going to hurt, yeah?
Low expectations, apparently, than the Nesiim.
That's the problem, that it should not have been low expectations. You could read into it. But you're saying a very interesting idea. You're saying the reason why it's left out is because his donation came at a later point in time. Because since this is a later account, when they made the original account, maybe he did not get given money yet. And now, it's a very chiddush. It's you're being a little bit critical of Nehemiah. So do we have a right to do that? I don't know if we can do that. But it's definitely a very interesting idea.
You covered the deficit.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, but that's, again, it's not an ideal type of leadership qualities, exactly. But it's something which is not clear. A lot of these things, there are not too many mefarshim, at least that are readily apparent to study from, to appear in Nehemiah, to explain all of these differences, and they're all very significant. Everything we go through, leaving out the mules and the mules and the horses, and leaving out over here the gift of Nehemiah was left out. Here and here it's presented, but in any event, this is what we find over here. Now we come to the donations. Now the Pasuk Ayin Aleph does appear in Sefer Ezra, Umeroshe Ha'avos, from the families, the heads of the families, Nasnu Lo'itza HaMalacha. So here we have a sum, a grand sum, a grand total of how much they all contributed together. Zahav, these numbers are exactly the same as in Sefer Ezra. Gold, Dar Kimoinim, coins, special gold coins that known at the time, Shtei Ribos, 20,000. A Ribo is 10,000, so 2 times 10,000 is 20,000. The Chesef Monim, a Mone. Mone is 60 Shkolim. Okay, there's a calculation of how money literally means 100. But the reason why it's called 60 is because at a later point in time they doubled. A money shel chol is double, shel kodesh is double, kodesh is double, and plus they increased it by a fifth. They increased the currency to help the economy. Bezdin, or the Sanhedrin, or the Melech, the Secretary of the Treasury, I'm not sure how all this works. I have to ask my father's son Levracha to explain to me how all of this works. All the economic, but they manipulated the currency in order to stimulate the economy. Okay, that was done. It was done in different. That was done in different tikkuvos in time. They added to the currency a fifth from the inside, a sixth from the outside, with all different types of calculations. And also we have to take into consideration that the currency for the Beis HaMikdash was double the currency. The way you counted money in the Beis HaMikdash was double the way it was counted for mundane purposes. So all of these things come together when we have here the word monim. Mone comes from the word mone, which means 100. And we know that the Mefarshim tell us that a mone really was 60. So you have to keep in mind these two ideas. Yes, they added to the currency a fifth, so from 50 became 60. And the reason why we're calling it a money is because we're dealing here with things that are donated to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, everything is doubled. But basically, for our purposes, we just need to know that it was a very significant amount of money. It was Kesef Monim, Alpayim, Umasayim, 2,200 Monim. Each money was 60 Shkolim, so you do the math, 60 times 2,200, comes out to whatever number comes out to. I'm not too good at this, so I need some pen and paper. But this is the donation that all of the people have given, the cash. What about the people, the hamoinam, not the wealthy elite, the sheresam, zahav gold, dar kemoinim, shtei ribo, is 20,000 to 20,000 gold darker monim coins, the chesef monim, and silver monim alpayim, also 2,000. The chosnos kohanim shishim v'shiva, they donated exactly 67 tunics. What's the significance? I have no idea. 67 samach zayin tunics were given to the kohanim for them to use in the avod of the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk ein gimel vayeshu ha-kohanim, and it's the record records, they sat, they dwelled, they settled ha-kohanim ve-halavim ve-hashayarim, the gatekeepers ve-ha-mishayurim, and the singers. These are levim that sang shira and played musical instruments, umina'om, and the people, the hamoinam, the population, ve-hanesinim v'chol yishol b'yareim, in their cities. And here it says something which is very important. Vayiga, it now arrived. Hachodesh Hashvi'i, the seventh month. Uvinei Yisrael b'arayhem, and the Jews were living in their cities. Now, what exactly does this mean? Now, if you go back to Sefer Ezra,
that's not a separate passage. It's still the same passage with the space.
It's still right. Yeah, fine.
I was just thinking in terms of it maybe accidentally being counted.
What do you mean?
In other words, there's a separate pasuk about, and then maybe there's another one like it, which would account for the two extra.
Where do you want to start that pasuk from? Vayiga? You want to break up the pasuk with...
doesn't destroy any... interpretation of the pasuk.
Okay. You want to say that it's a run-on pasuk, so it's a candidate to break it into more than one pasuk. Okay, there are a lot of run-on psukim in the Nehemiah and Ezra. Yeah. No, of course not. Okay, it's not.
Like a halfway point?
We had larger psukim, which we are also even better candidates for breaking up into two. Okay, whatever it is. Okay, it's fine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Previously, they used Hebrew words. Now they resort back to.
So here we're using Hebrew months. Before they used the Babylonian months, you mean?
Right, that's
right. Chodesh Ziv. Right. Here we're using the months like we use it in the Torah by numbers, which is much holier. It has a much more holy connotation. Correct. Because they're about... Right. That's correct. Because it seems they're about to engage in something that's holy. You're making a very good point. When they're dealing with recording dates, when an event happened, that they travel from Eretz, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, they made Aliyah. There's no holiness in the Zman. It's just, this is the date. It's like a secular date almost. But here, this Chodesh HaShvi is Rosh Hashanah. Aleph, the seventh month, is Rosh Hashanah. And they're about to do something that is very important, very significant. The Perek Ches describes what happened on the first day of Rosh Hashanah in this year, in the time of Nehemiah. It's a very holy event where people did tshuva, and it totally changed their whole attitude towards the future. So it's very significant that indeed we're using the number, which is a holy number. Now, the point I want to make is this pasuk appears word for word in the end of Sefer, Sefer Ezra, and Perek Beis, where we have our accounting. And there it means something entirely different. It would seem to mean something entirely different than what it means here. There, the people came up during the time of Koresh, and they did not yet build the Beis HaMikdash. They just barely arrived. They cleared some of the rubble of the Beis HaMikdash. They set up a Mizbeach. They probably put up some curtains. And it was now Rosh Hashanah. And for the very first time, they offered Korbanos. Right, if we go to Perek Beis in Sefer Ezra, you don't have to turn the. I'll read to you what it says there. Perek Gimel, right? So there, it's the first pasuk, like the very part. It's in Ezra Perek Beis. The last pasuk is Vayeshu. See, wow, you said it's very good. It's broken up. So Magar Ramayevsky, you're right. It is indeed broken up in Sefer Ezra. It's broken up into two psukim.
Okay.
Vayeshu.
Right.
Vayeshu haKohanim vaLevim and haOm vaMasharim haHasharim haNesim vaRim v'Chol Yisrael b'Reim. And now new perek. Not only so, Samach.
The law is the numbers, the number of psukim in the prophet.
Yeah.
Almost similar.
Yeah, almost.
By two.
Uh-huh. Two psukim, interesting. So if you add two more psukim, then you get to...
Vav and Samaches, the count of the horses.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So you did count the horses.
Go off by
two. You count two more psukim. Okay.
If you want to make a quick cheshbon...
It will come out exact if you add the pasuk of the horses and you add one more pasuk. Okay. So if the pasuk comes to an end, you have to break up the trup. Then that's correct. The trup is put in. It's a soif pasuk. It's a soif pasuk. Okay. So. But here in Sefer Ezra, by Yiga Hachodesh Hashvi Vnei Yisrael Bereim, by Yesvuk, now also it adds a little bit more. By Yosfu, call Om Kiish Echad, the Kiish Echad El Horachoy Vafel. But notice that here in Sefer Nehemiah, it's not to Yerushalayim. They all gathered El Horachoy Asher Lifnei Shar Hamayim. So he's doing something. We're doing something very interesting here in Sefer Ezra. After we conclude the accounting of who came, how many people came, the gifts, then an event is about to happen. The event that's about to happen is in Pasuk Perek Gimel in Ezra, Pasuk Beis, Vayokom Yeshua ben Yotzadok. Obviously, we're dealing with an earlier point in time. It's now Rosh Hashanah. It's the first day Rosh Hashanah. in the second year of Koresh, right after the Jewish people have ascended, and now they build a mizbeach, vayivnu es mizbach elokei Yisrael, lahalois lof oilois, and for the very first time, they offer a carbon on the base, on the mizbeach. A carbon has not been offered for at least 52 years. The korban took place 52 years ago, it's now 52 years later, they now arrive, and the way we introduce, we begin the record of the offered a carbon now after 52 years is with the word, with the words, Vayiga HaChodesh HaShavi. We reached this moment in time, the seventh month of the year, Aleph Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. Everyone is coming here, it says, to Yerushalayim to build a Mizbeach, and we're going to offer a carbon for the first time in 52 years. In Sefer Nehemiah, it's bizarre, it's very strange. It's recording a different event. It's now 36 years later, past the time of Ezra. We have a Beis HaMikdash. We have even the walls of Yerushalayim are secure. Ezra has separated all the men who have intermarried. It's a whole different world. 36 years later, we're dealing with a different world. And now once again, deja vu. It's Vayiga HaChodesh HaShvi'i. Everyone is coming together to Yerushalayim. It doesn't say here in Sefer Nehemiah to Yerushalayim. It says here El HaRechoiv Af Sher Lifnei Shar HaMoyim. And now they're going to do something very significant. They're going to bring out the Sefer Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. They're going to call Ezra, and they're going to read, and everyone's going to do tshuva, and we're going to see in Perek Ches a whole thing, a whole new process, a whole new tshuva movement that begins at this point in the time. But it's very poetic how these two accounts conclude the same way. On the one hand, we are referring to an event that took place 36 years ago. We even conclude with the same number of 42,360. And then the last pasuk of the event is identical, but they're 36 years apart. And they're describing completely two different events. But yet, there's this convergence of events, like time, we travel through time. Time repeats, events repeat themselves. History repeats itself. That's exactly what's happening over here in Vayiga HaChodesh HaShvi. I think this is a very powerful Musar Haskel for, you know, everything about Sefer Nehemiah we say over and over is Maise Avos Simul Labanim. And in Golos, history repeats itself over and over. We come to different kufas, we come to different times, different periods, ups and downs, and it's the same thing all over again. And that's the question. The question is, do we go back and we learn from our mistakes and improve upon our situation, or do we just, unfortunately, bliss is ignorance, or is ignorance is bliss? Ignorance is bliss. We just make believe, we don't know what's going on, and we don't learn from the past. But it's just very powerful how these two accounts, on the one hand, they're very similar, on the other hand, there are differences, and at the end, they just converge into the same exact pasuk, but describing two completely different events, exactly 36 years apart. Yeah. So that we explain. So we're not going to do it today. We don't have time. The number of people is not the same number of people. It's referring to the original Olam. Okay, the original Olam. The simple understanding is it's 36 years later. We're taking out the history books and we are making a fresh review of what exactly happened at that point in time. You have that all very often, in modern times, where there are events that happened 50 years ago, and there are records and there are documents. And at the time, Congress demanded there be an investigation, and an investigation was made, and it was presented, and it's on record. And now, 50 years later, we want to review what exactly happened at that point in time, and a new investigation is launched, new interviews are done, conducted, and the records are pulled out, and we start fresh. And then we compare the original report from 50 years ago to the report we have today. So there are things which are very similar, and there are things which are very different. The total tally was 42,360. But the details of how we got there, we look at it a little bit differently now that 36 years have passed since it happened originally. So that's a similar understanding, but the end pasuk is the most interesting. How we have two different records, and now we're converging, and we're coming to an event which is 36 years apart, and we refer to that event with the same exact words. Okay, let's do the mitsudos, not the large one. That we'll do next week. Yeah?
That the gold unit is the drachmoni, and the silver unit is the money. In other words,
it is.
That's the unit.
That's clear. That's clear. That's in the pasuk. That's clear. The Zav Darkimonim, the gold, was counted in Darkimonim coins, the gold coins, and the silver coins were Shkolim.
No, money.
A money was a count of a certain number of coins.
That money was an equivalent of the Darkimonim, but for silver.
Yeah, but I don't think a money was a coin. Money is a collection of coins. A money is a collection of 60 Shkolim. That's what it says in the Mefarshim. A money is not an actual coin. Okay, let us see the mitsudos, the short ones, and we'll leave the large one for after Pesach. Let's see pasuk ayin. Okay, pasuk ayin in the mitsudos David. Nasnu l'malacha oz kasher alu im zrubavel nasnu nudavel l'malachas mitzvah Hashem uvi'ezra huskar cheshbon ha'azov yakesef ukesoynes ha'kahanim. And so it says that there it's mentioned the almost the same thing in Sefer Ezra. Hatir shasa chahu nechemya nasan loitzer nasan ata loitzer shel beis Hashem. So it's interesting. According to the mitsudos, he seems to say, if you take it literally, that the gift listed here by Tirshasa was given 36 years later. Okay, that's not the way we translated it when we read the pasuk. When we translated it, we said this is a record of what happened 36 years ago. 36 years ago, HaTirshasa gave a very large gift, but for whatever reason, it was not recorded in the account in Sefer Ezra. In this separate investigation, it was recorded. And Mr. Glatter mentioned, because maybe he gave it at a later point in time, and it was too late. But when they made the first record, they did not include his gift. By the time
the books
were already closed. He gave his donation after the books were closed. But now, 36 years later, when we reflect what happened, so we do record that he did give this large donation. That's not the way the mitzudos seems to learn Shah in the pasuk. He seems to say the reason why he was absent in Sefer Ezra and it appears in Sefer Nechem was because in Sefer Ezra he didn't give it. For 36 years, he didn't give a donation at all. He maybe gave $18. Now, 36 years later, he's giving this elaborate donation. And that's why we have this blending, this mingling of events that occurred 36 years ago with new details, new things that are happening now currently at this point in time. Nosan atah, now lo'itzar shel beis Hashem. How many tunics? Kesonis kohanim shilbushu oisam hakohanim b'shas havoda. He gave a very significant number of tunics. The pasuk says he gave 530. That's a lot, because the people themselves only gave 67. So he gave 530. To the treasury, where they collect the gold and the silver. There was no need to go give. So again, it appears, according to the mitsudos, that the gifts of the Roshei Ha'avos are new gifts. But if they're new gifts, it does not fit well with what it says in Ezra Perek Beis. Let's go back to Ezra, the end of Perek Beis. There are different numbers. I didn't pay attention to this. I made a mistake. See, that's an important point. If we go back to Sefer Ezra, at the end of Perek Beis, it does list the donations that were given by the Rosh Hashanah. And there the numbers are very different. They gave Sheish ribos, 60,000. Ve'elef, 61,000. Silver was manim chamesh lofim, the silver coins. Silver was 5,000 manim. The kosnos koyhanim neo. Here it's a lot less. If we look at the numbers they were given over here by the Rosh Ha'avos, it says they gave only dark manim shtei ribos. What? Oh, so the after, so the Mitzvah is telling us it's a different time. The donations being listed here took place 36 years later. For the future, that's exactly what the Mitzvah says to reconcile the contradiction. There are different numbers. There we do not have any record of Heter Shasa, and there we have very different numbers for the donation of the Rosh Avos than what we have here. So the way the Mitzvah is coming to reconcile the contradiction is telling us that the donated were two separate periods of times, two different periods when donations were made, 36 years apart. What's listed in Ezra was then, what's listed here is now. Even though that's not true for every single thing in the account, in the record, because most of the things that we've learned in this record were things which happened 36 years ago, there are some things that are being added into the record that are taking place now for the very first time, or a repeat of what happened then. And that's why there's a different number. That's the approach of the Mitzudas David. Other of Mefarshim do not learn like that. They learn that we're referring everything to what happened exactly 36 years ago, and there are just different ways to calculate after you deduct taxes, after you look at how much they wrote off, what was their real donation? Or did they give a donation now, or the donation given over time? Maybe when it says there they gave 60,000, that was a pledge. And now 36 years later, we look back and we look at the books, they never paid their pledge. They never really paid their bills. They promised they're going to give 61,000 gold coins. 36 years later, we look at the books, they only gave 20,000 gold coins. What happened to the remainder? Either they never gave it, or it was not on the books. Because if it was on the books, they would have to pay taxes. Okay? There are many ways you can dreidel, you can play with this discrepancy. But according to the Mitzudos, he's giving you a very similar approach and saying there were two different periods of time when donations were made. Let's finish up over here, back in Sefer Nehemiah. These last few words. So one more time. Pasuk Ayin Aleph in the Mitzvah Stavid. Mirashay Mikzas Mirashay Havas. Nasnu Ata B'Minichem Nasnu Loitzah Hamalach. Etzlamer El Hamakom Shalatzu Shem Azav Yakesef. Letzerach Melachas Berek Habayis. Ayelohaysev Binyan Binyan. Because now, 36 years later, there was no need to build the Beis Hamikdash. The Mikdash was already complete, and the walls were already complete. Now they collected money for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash, which is called the Berek Habayis. Ayin Gimel Umin Ha'am B'Bnei Yehuda B'Nyamin. They also gave donations. They settled in their cities. And Bnei Yisrael were in their cities. Each person now settled in their land. And now it arrived Chodesh Hashvi'i. Everyone is coming to Yerushalayim, to the Beis Hamikdash, for a very powerful event that will be take place at the, through the leadership of Nehemiah and Ezra, which appears in Perek Ches. Okay, Mir Tishrei after Pesach, we're going to go over the long Mitzudos and Pasuk Samach Vav. It's a very good summary. It reviews a lot of the ideas that to explain why we have repetition in the record of what happened at the time of the Aliyah, the differences between Sefer Ezra and Sefer Nehemiah. Okay, let's stop here. Okay, by the way, before